Hello, I'm Olivia Shelby, and you're listening to Not From Around Here on Wisconsin Public Radio, a special series of one-hour programs featuring interviews with international students in the Twin Ports. Not From Around Here features interviews with students studying at the University of Wisconsin Superior and the University of Minnesota Duluth. Students share their experiences about leaving home and why they chose to study in the U.S. and the Twin Ports. They also share stories about their encounters with people, both good and bad, and their thoughts on the current political climate towards foreigners. In the next hour, we'll hear from I, a student from Aleppo who declined to use his real name out of fear of backlash towards him and his family back in Syria. He's pursuing a master's degree in electrical engineering at the University of Minnesota Duluth.
Part of it, I was looking for master's or PhD program, you know, study abroad. Just due to the situation in Syria and the war, because like I couldn't like you know, because of the war, I couldn't like live my life and, you know, finish my master's there. I lost my job, so different circumstances, and I was married at that time. Somehow I got to know about UMD, and I applied for their electrical engineering program, and I got accepted, and then I came over here.
Where are you from? I'm sorry.
Syria.
Which part in Syria?
Aleppo.
Why didn't you do your master's back home?
I was doing my master's back home, but due to the war, I couldn't finish it. Just like, you know, we didn't have electricity, internet, lost my job, like I said, life was really hard. And we didn't have, like, you know, in order to do research, you need resources, you need fund. And at that time, we didn't have.
Okay.
And also safety, lack of safety at that time, so.
Were you able to commute to the university on a daily basis, or was that a struggle?
Back in Syria? Well, I wasn't able to get a hold of my advisor all the time. I mean, just because of, you know, what's going on in the city, you know. Every day is different.
What are your plans after you graduate?
I'm looking for a job. I'm trying to settle down here.
How's that going so far?
I'm having some troubles. I'm struggling a lot with that, so I don't know. I'm going to give it some time. Hopefully it's going to turn out well.
Okay, and how is an American degree valued back home?
Oh, it's pretty much like... In Syria, we consider, you know, any degree from the United States or Europe, it's one of the highest, you know, degrees in the world. So, yeah, it's pretty respected.
What was it like when you first came up here?
When I came here, like, I was, like, I didn't know anyone here in Duluth before I came. So, I had a host family. They are literally my family here, so they helped me out, you know, to, you know, start school, find place, open bank account, things like that, you know. Just, you know, they kind of introduced me to the lifestyle here in the United States, because, like, I didn't have any idea how people, you know, live here and how they, you know, deal with, you know, what's the daily routine here. So, yeah, kind of they, you know, I got to know through them, like, the city, buses, the campus, you know, stuff like that.
How did you feel about it? What was your experience, or what did you expect when you moved up here?
You mean from the community here?
No, before you came to the United States, what was your expectation of the United States?
It's not my expectations, because I really, at that time, I didn't really think about it, like, you know. But it's more like, just because we are, you know, from two different worlds and huge distance, and there is no way to communicate between, you know, us. So I would say in Syria, we had different I don't know how to put it in a polite way. we think of Americans, like, yeah, they are materialistic, and they they don't like us, they hate us, you know, they don't, you know, like many people before I came here, they said, don't interact with Americans, don't deal with them, don't, you know, they don't like us, they don't respect us, stay away from them, they wouldn't help you, stuff like that, which is wrong. I mean, I'm talking about my experience here, because I've been getting support and help from the community here till this moment. So it's really sad. It's really sad. It's just like, I would call it like just a propaganda. They use, like, technically our governments, they use this propaganda just to, you know, convince us, okay, the United States is your enemy, and we are fighting them, so you better support us, because we are, you know, standing for you. So it's, you know, it's just made up. Yeah, it's, and I totally understand there is there is huge difference between, you know, politics and the people here in the United States. So same as Syria. There is a huge difference between politics and the people there.
So would you say your experience was opposite of what you heard or what
you
expected?
Yes, completely opposite. Yeah, I would say that, yeah. And I, actually, it's not what I expected. Like, my dad spent, like, my dad came to the United States, I think 2010, 2011. And, you know, I told him, someone said that to me, someone, you know, and I've heard from him before, like, he told me, no, Americans are good people, nice people, they are helpful, they are supportive, they are, you know, so I really didn't, like, care about what other people said to me, because my dad has, you know, his own experience here in the United States, so, and people talking about, like, people are talking from what they hear from the media in my country, which is false.
Okay, so... did you have any language barriers when you first came to the United States?
Yes, I was, like, at that time, pretty much I was able to understand, you know, when someone talks to me, but I had, like, a little bit, you know, tough time, you know, speaking, because I haven't used to it, I haven't used to, you know, before, I haven't used to speak English in Syria, so I studied English at school. And then I studied by myself for IELTS. But other than that, I couldn't practice English. And it's really completely different when you sit down with native speaker and start talking, you know, to him in English. It's him or her, I mean, yeah. It's completely different. It gives you the fluency. So, yeah, it's really, I had a little bit, like, tough time. I mean... They were able here to, I'm talking about, like, my department, they were able to understand me and understand what I'm trying to say, but still I used to take time to form the, you know, the sentence in my head, and you know what I mean? So now I'm talking, like, without, you know, even thinking, you know, and still I do mistakes.
So how did you overcome the barrier?
I don't know. Maybe, like, reading a lot. I think... when I came here, the first thing I thought about, like, reading was the Bible, just because my host family, you know, is Christian, so, and I wanted to understand the community here, like, pretty much people here are Christians, so I wanted to understand, you know, their, you know, mentality and their, what they believe in, what's their faith, so I started reading the Bible, and I kind of, like, I feel, yeah, it helped me a lot to, you know, with my English. Especially when I used to study the Bible with a friend of mine, so we get to discuss things and stuff, which is really helpful to me to, you know, improve my language. So I think that's, yeah, and having, you know, friends who I can, you know, talk to on a daily basis, that's really helped me. Yeah, so I would say also my textbooks. Yeah, I had, like, at the beginning, I had a tough time, I mean, yeah, somehow, understanding the slang language, because when we study English, we study the formal, you know, English, and I study English, like, in the British accent, not in the American accent, which was like also another transaction for me. So I had like problem, you know, translating few words or misunderstanding few words, stuff like that. So it did happen a lot at the beginning to me.
Okay, tell me, what do you miss and what don't you miss about back home?
Oh my God, I miss my family for sure. I miss my city, but not now. I mean, not my city right now, because it has been changed, it has been destroyed, and people are replaced with another people from different nationality, just based on the war, whatever. So, I miss the food a lot. I miss the weather there, because we have four seasons. Winter is not long like here, and it's not cold like here. Yeah, I miss my friends. I mean, my friends, everyone now in different countries, so pretty much like everyone has left the country. Yeah, but I miss, you know, the old days, getting together and doing things together. I think of my, you know, my country, my city, my family, my, you know, people, my relatives every day, almost every day, so yeah. But what I don't miss, our life is messy. It's not organized, so I hate that. I don't know, Aleppo is so busy, so we always have traffic jam there. I hate that, and it's really annoying, but you can't help it. It's, you know, the size is like Duluth, but you have 4 million people, so it's really insane. I don't miss my college, my university. I spent like literally studying there is really hard. I came to know studying there is here it's totally like different. It's first of all, the instructors here are understandable and they don't put lots of pressure on you, unlike there. I did electrical engineering back home in Syria is 5 years, while here it's 4 years. And we don't do credits, we do classes. So you get either seven or eight per semester classes, which is really a lot. And I think, yeah, I've learned a lot about different things, and I studied like general things. But here they are more like, you know, they are more oriented, you know, they know what they are doing, you know. Okay, this is electrical engineering department here at UMD, so we are more interested in VLSI, computer architecture, stuff like that, or control, you know, we have control classes, you know. So while in my country, Aleppo University, I graduated with a bachelor degree in control and automation, but I studied like lots of things which you know had nothing to do with, you know, electrical engineering or control. I mean, it was just waste of time, waste of effort, and it kept me busy for no reason. I don't know, I like it here more. I think here the system is more organized and makes more sense to me. And also the instructors here are really supportive and understandable, which is really nice. Helps you to feel comfortable, you know, pursuing your, you know, whatever your program, bachelor, master's, whatever. So yeah, I like it here more.
Is it hard for you to stay in contact with your family or friends in Syria because of the whole electricity cut and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's really hard. I've been trying to get a hold of my family like past 2 weeks. More than past 2 weeks. It's been really hard like recently because the reception is bad if they want to use the 3G. And they don't have electricity, and they wait until they, you know. Now we are kind of like in every neighborhood you can find like four or five generators. So someone, you know, brings the generator and, you know, put it in the street, generate, you know, power, and everyone like, you know, throw a cable from his window and, you know, try to get some amps. So yeah, my family, like everyone has to wait, you know, until they run this generator. So they run this generator like for probably 6 hours every day. But I mean, it's really a problem for me because, like, sometimes, you know, I mean, most of the time, the difference between Syria and here is 8 hours. So when I am at work, they are like, it's night back there. And when I'm done with work and ready to go home and talk to them, they are sleeping. So it's a little bit hard, you know, it's a lot. So it's not easy at all.
How has the experience of traveling and studying abroad changed you? Or did it change?
It did actually a lot, yeah. It did a lot. I can't tell. It's not only, you know, studying abroad. It's all of what I've been through this past, you know, 2.5 years. So I think, yeah, I can say I'm a different person right now. I'm a different person for, but really I don't want to talk about this. But yeah, I'm a different person.
Okay. Would you advise people to study abroad or to go live abroad?
Yes.
Why? Yeah.
It's really, first of all, you get to know new culture, you get to know the people, and you understand more about, like, it did clarify my, you know, my experience here. It did clarify my, you know, views about the people here in the United States. They are loving, accepting, supportive, nice, friendly. So I think, yeah, it's a good experience. And also, it's really nice to see new places and, you know, try new food, talk to different people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different religions. I think it's fascinating.
Do you go back home often?
No, and I can't, especially now because of the ban.
Is it hard to live between two worlds?
Yeah, like, I think of me as like a tree. So you can't forget, you keep growing, but you can't forget about your roots.
Is it hard, like, you know, living here and you have your family living there? Or do you eventually get used to it? Like, how does it work, you know?
You get depressed and you take a bunch of medication. Really? No, I haven't got used to it yet. I mean, I'm still, like, you know, missing my family and, you know, probably because of the situation in Syria. Just, it's like, you know, special situation just because of the war. So makes it more harder, you know, to me. But, and I can't go visit. So different circumstances are involved, you know, in this. So yeah, I would say, yeah, it's really hard.
So when you left home, did you know that you were not going to be able to visit as often?
Yeah.
And was it hard to leave home then?
Yeah. I mean, at that time, I didn't have the choice. I mean, either if I'm going to stay there. Okay, here's the deal. In Syria, the military service is mandatory. So you have to serve in the army no matter what. And at that time, I was supposed to, you know, I left in August, but I was supposed to serve in the army in the following March, you know, so March 2015. So it was kind of like, yeah, I'm running away from that, you know, because, like, I mean, no one wants to participate in this war, and no one wants to kill civilians. Like my brother, you know, he flee to Germany. So I didn't have the choice at that time. Plus, I was married, and I wanted to come here, just, you know, run away from some problems back there, home in Syria, and try to work on fixing my relationship with my ex-mother-in-law and stuff like that. But it didn't work out. So, different circumstances, yeah.
You said it's mandatory to go to the army back home. Is it because you have a brother, or as a boy you have to go serve in the military?
Because I have a brother. So we both have to go to serve in the army. So I had to leave the country and he had to. So he did. He went to Germany.
Okay. How much do you pay as an international student here? And do you receive any financial assistance?
Well, I used to pay before. Now I'm on grad 999, which is technically I pay just for my health insurance and some other fees, and that's it, which is probably 1,240. But before that, I used to have an assistantship and teaching assistant. So I used to pay, like, probably, like, I think around $900, but I used to get paid almost $1,300 a month. Yeah.
So what is the actual tuition for a student getting their grad degree?
Yeah, when I came here, I was supposed to pay like 14,000 per semester, because At that time, I didn't have, you know, assistantship or research assistant. But when I came here, I got research assistant and teaching assistant. So that changed my whole situation, you know. So I got paid and they reduced the fees. So it was really helpful and supportive. So I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure 14,000 if you don't have assistantship.
So your tuition dropped from $14,000 to $900.
Yes, just because of the assistantship and because I had to work on the research with my advisor and also teach, you know, in the labs.
You're listening to Not From Around Here, a special series of one-hour programs on Wisconsin Public Radio featuring interviews with international students in the Twin Ports. In this half hour, we're speaking with I, an international student from Syria, pursuing a master's degree in electrical engineering at UMD. How were you able to get this assistantship?
I was lucky. So, literally, I was lucky. I didn't know anything about it before I came here, like, you know, how it works. So, the secretary in my department, her name is Shay Peterson, she came to know in the physics department at that time they had, like, you know, a student who couldn't make it, you know, that semester. He dropped his labs, his TA. So, they were looking for someone to, you know, pick up these labs. And I was looking for, you know, a position too. So she talked to them, she told me, and we went to physics department. They saw my resume, they interviewed me, and things went well, and I got 25% assistantship. And in order to get, like, a full waiver on your tuition, you have to get, like, 50%. This is the max. So I got the other 25 from my advisor. It happened, that semester was his first semester at UMD in our department, and that was my first semester too. So we both came at the same time. He had a fund, so I applied for position with him, and he accepted my resume, and things went well.
So you do both TA and research?
Yes, I used to do that, yep.
So you used to teach undergrad students?
Yes. Yes.
How was that experience like?
Oh, wow, it was fun. I used to teach back home in Syria, Aleppo University, because I was like, I used to work there. So I like it. I mean, it's really fun. But it was a little bit like different for me because like I was teaching in English here. So that was like a little bit different. So I had to prepare myself in two different ways, in terms of the topic and the language.
Was it scary at the beginning when you started teaching?
Yeah, because like I wasn't like worried about myself for making mistakes in the topics. I was worried about making mistakes in the language. So I was like more concerned about, you know, my language and my accent. Yeah, but then once you get used to it, it's totally fine. It's completely fine. So later on, it got better. It got really better.
Did you get any experience or any opportunities while you're studying here mm-hmm. that you wouldn't have got or you didn't get when you were studying back home?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd say the resources here. Like, for instance, if you need some equipment to do a project, I'm talking, you know, back home in Syria, so you have to order it and wait until they ship it. And before all of that, you have to find a fund, which is usually not available. While here, they have funds, they have resources. You can order if you need like a motor or sensor or whatever, you know, you can order it and get it like within a max a week or so, which is really helpful. So you don't waste lots of time. Also, papers and thesis here, like you have an access like to IEEE, which is really nice and helpful. I mean, if you are doing a research, if you are a grad student doing research, it's something necessary to read and see what other people did so far so you can proceed and make something, try to do something new, something different. So, yeah, it's completely different here.
Is IEEE like...
IEEE.
IEEE, sorry, is it like previous research papers?
IEEE is like a magazine for engineering. So people, when they do research, they publish, you know, papers through IEEE. So pretty much like highest engineering community in the world. You can get from them the latest studies or results or researches.
Tell me, what is your goal from being here?
Well, my goal now is different. Before I came here, I was thinking of, you know, pursuing my PhD program, but right now I'm looking for a job. So I want to like find a job and settle down. But maybe later I'm going to do part-time PhD program later. But first of all, right now I want to get my degree, my master's degree done, and then find a job, try to settle down. And yeah, maybe in the future, you know, do part-time PhD program.
Your part-time PhD program, are you thinking about pursuing it here in the Twin Ports or somewhere else?
Probably in the cities. Well, I'm looking for a job up here, actually. So it's kind of, yeah, hard. I mean, because I have made friends. I have, like, my host family here. I have so many people here, so I don't want to, like, go, like, somewhere else and start all over again. You know, make new friends and stuff like that. So I would like to stick around here. I'm trying to find a job up here in Duluth or Twin Ports area, let's say that.
President Donald Trump issued executive orders this year temporarily barring citizens from Muslim-majority nations from entering the U.S. President Trump, right here on CNN at a rally in Nashville, said the orders are necessary for U.S. security.
So here's the statute, which they don't even want to quote when they overrule it. And it was put here for the security of our country. And this goes beyond me because there'll be other presidents. And we need this. And sometimes we need it very badly for security, security of our country. It says, now listen to easy, how easy this is. Whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or any class of aliens would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation, and for such period as he, you see, it wasn't politically correct because they should have said he or she. You know, today they'd say that. But that's all. Actually, that's the only mistake they made. As he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. In other words, if he thinks there's danger out there, he or she, whoever is president, can say, I'm sorry, folks, not now, please. We got enough problems.
So what do you think about the executive orders about immigration?
Yeah, it's, you know, people here are trying to build bridges between Western world and Eastern world. But these orders, I think, they are, with these orders, they are trying to destroy these bridges. For instance, last semester, a church up here paid my tuition. So, and also I need some help this semester to pay my tuition. So they are going to host a fundraise. The church is called Anchor Point. They are going to host a fundraise for me, and I'm going to cook like some Syrian dishes to help me, you know, pay my tuition. So the point is, people here are really trying to kind of decrease this hole or this distance between our worlds. But some other people, unfortunately, they are trying to make it way, 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 way further, which is, it's really sad.
Could you share with me a little bit how was living in Aleppo like before the war, and how did it become after the war?
Oh my God, it's completely different. Yeah, like I said, Aleppo is a busy city. So when I graduated, got my bachelor degree, and you know, started a job and stuff. So pretty much like during the day, I'm at work. At night, hanging out with my friends like every single night. So we get together. I see my friends every night. So we do things. Either we go to play some video games or hang out or go for a walk or watch a soccer game or, you know, whatever. After the war, these things, you know, have changed. We couldn't do it. So it's just because the city has become unsafe and, like I said, lack of like electricity, internet, heat, especially in winter. So, yeah, life was miserable.
So you were there during the time when yeah. There was shooting and electricity?
Yeah, I experienced, 2 years.
And how is it like to live in a war zone area? What does it make you become, or how do you feel when you're in a situation like this? When you, like, how do you feel when you know that, you know, you might get shot while walking down the street or something?
Well, yeah, at some point, like, at the beginning, you get scared and terrified. But then, like, yeah, I mean, what can I do? You can't do anything about it. It happened a lot. when you are walking in the street, some people get shot next to you. You're still safe, you're still alive, but the person next to you got shot. So it happened once with my dad. He was in the downtown and going to do some stuff. So he was walking and the person next to him got shot. So, you know, it happens. My brother-in-law got shot.
Is he still alive?
Yeah. Last day for me in Syria, before I leave the country, I was going to get my international driving license. And I used to go, I used to take a certain street. But somehow I changed my mind and I took another one, which is a little bit longer. Anyways, when I got to the stoplight and I was waiting to, you know, cross the street, a bomb dropped on the other side. I was supposed to be there if I took that, you know, street. But luckily, you know, I didn't. So that was my last day in Syria.
Did you face any hard times on your trip all the way from Syria to the United States? How was it like?
Okay, so first of all, in Syria, we don't have U.S. embassy, so I had to go to Lebanon.
It shut down after the revolution started.
Yeah, yes, it did. So I had to go to Lebanon and apply for my visa. And when I got the, after 1 month after I applied for my visa, I got the, they sent me an email. They said, okay, we approved your visa. Send us your passport, you know, to issue your visa.
You didn't have to go there and do an interview?
I did. I went, I had an interview, and then I went back to Syria, and I had to wait like a month, exactly a month, because they had to do like something called background check or something like that. So then they got back to me and they said, okay, you are approved and we need your passport to issue the visa. So I had to go to Lebanon again. And yeah, before the war, usually it takes like 6 hours from Aleppo to Lebanon. But because of the war, it took me 24 hours to get there. Along the way, we had some dramatic actions happened, like bumps, it dropped, sometimes all the way. I mean, just because of the war.
How did it feel like when you're on a bus on your way to another country and a bomb drops?
Yeah.
On the way there and you're on the bus, how does it feel like?
Well, all the people were scared. I started praying. I mean, we were in homes and the bus, like, going through the sea, so a bomb dropped kind of in front of us, a little bit to the left, and then two bombs dropped behind us. So yeah, people like start praying and got panic and shocked. And
you just get used to it?
Yeah, I mean, it became part of every day, so.
How does it make you feel to think that this became the okay or the usual?
Because it happens every day. First time when we ever heard like sound of the bombs and stuff, yeah, we were really scared. But then you get used to it. I mean, it's part of every day, so you can't do anything about it. You gotta get adapted to it, otherwise you can't live.
Do you think these executive orders will be a long-term thing, or do you think they will be shut down?
I don't know, but I think, I don't know, what I've seen with the first ban orders, the court stood up and terminated those orders. But I don't know if they're going to do the same thing right now. I think there is many people here trying to stand for, you know, humanity. So I don't think they will let this go easily. I'm not like a politic person.
Tell me, during your time here, have you ever experienced any stereotypical situations where people categorize you or put you in a certain category?
Yeah, it happened with me. It's really funny because it happened with me when I, you know, came here with one of my roommates, you know, my first roommates ever here in the United States. One of them, he didn't like me just because of my, you know, religion, my background, because I'm from Syria, Middle East, you know, stuff like that. So he didn't like me at all. And I remember one day when that shooting in France at Charlie Hebdo magazine. So when it happened, he was so mad at me, and he like almost blamed me, like I did it. I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't know. I reject that completely, and I don't agree with what happened. I don't know. The problem is, like, some people here have, I think, a wrong idea about us or wrong image.
By us, you mean the Middle East or Muslims?
Well, I think Middle East, Muslims, world, it's the same here. It's, I think it's just the propaganda here, the media propaganda, so.
How did the situation make you feel?
I don't know, I felt so bad, and like, I don't know, I tried to explain to him, we don't agree with that, like, I tried to explain to him, okay, I ran away from, you know, Syria, from this regime, and from ISIS, because we don't want to participate in this war, we don't agree with them. It's really insane. My brother, same thing. He had to leave the country and go to another, you know, country just because of the military service. And also, you know, ISIS is in Syria. Everyone knows that. So we all hate that. We don't support them at all. And we don't want to be part of that. So therefore, we left our countries. We have been forced to leave our country. We have been forced. So it wasn't our choice. But anyways, I hope people would understand that point. Like, when you just think about, like, you have 30 million and a half, like, Syrian refugees or dislocated Syrians all over the world, in and outside Syria. So that number indicates something. Like, before the war, we were, like, probably 25 million. I mean...
25 million in Syria?
Syria, in Syria. Mm-hmm. 25 million in Syria. So I have a sister in Portugal. She doesn't have to serve in the army, but it's really the whole country is messed up right now. It's a big chaos there, and I hope people would understand. Yeah, we don't support that. We don't want to destroy our country, and we don't want to destroy the world. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we don't want to spread violence or corruption, either in our country or the world. We are against that, completely against that. And we are trying, the reason why we, like, why are Syrians, you know, leaving their country? Because they are looking for some other place safer than Syria. They are looking for safety. They want to live. So, yeah, I hope people would understand that point.
So, what would you say to people that think that Syria is full of just extremist people, of people from ISIS? Do you guys in Syria have people from different areas of the world or have different faiths? I know you guys have a group, Armenian group that moved to Syria back in the
genocide. Yes, that's right.
So do you guys have diversity? How is it like in Syria, or how was it like in Syria?
Well, we were living in peace in Syria before the revolution and before the war. I had, like, yes, we do have, in my city, in Aleppo, we have Armenians, and we have different, like, from different backgrounds, like, in terms of the religions, you know, we have Christians, we have Muslims, we have Druze, we have Alawiyin, we have Shia, we have all different kind of, you know, sects, you know, in that area, religions and sects, pretty much, like, the major there is Christian and Muslims, the majority. So... I had, like, Christian friends, and I used to get, you know, I used to hang out with them, do things, go out, play games, you know, so we were close to each other. So the life was, like, really peaceful and nice. And even when the revolution started, in my city, in Aleppo, the revolution started from the university, Aleppo University, and we, the students, from different backgrounds, Muslim or Christian or Druze or Shia or Alawi. I mean, not all the Shia or Alawiyin, you know, supported, you know, the revolution, but there is some, few. But anyways, I remember me and one of my other friends, you know, we were always, like, you know, protesting and, you know, stuff like that. It has nothing to do with just, you know, Muslims, you know what I mean? Muslims are the majority, but it has nothing to do with Muslims. they were Christians. And also, it's really a funny thing, he got arrested and they accused him he is part of Ikhwan, although he is Christian. Really, I'm not kidding. He's one of my best friends. It's really insane. And another friend, he is Muslim and he got arrested and they throw him in the jail. One of my friends, my friend's brother, also he got arrested and killed in the jail. Yes. So it doesn't matter, you know, which religion you follow. It's pretty much like, are you with or against us? Yeah.
Just to clarify, Ikhwan is an extremist group?
Yeah, they consider them extremist group in my country. But they are less extremist, if you think about them, less extremist than ISIS. You know, ISIS are insane and they are idiots. They are not educated, they are illiterate, really.
You're listening to Not From Around Here, a special series of one-hour programs on Wisconsin Public Radio featuring interviews with international students in the Twin Ports. In this half hour, we're speaking with I, an international student from Syria, pursuing a master's degree in electrical engineering at UMD.
So would you say everyone from all different backgrounds, even if they were Muslims, got affected by ISIS? Their life changed over?
Yeah, of course. I mean, in my city, in Aleppo, ISIS invaded Aleppo, and Free Syrian Army kicked them out. We didn't want them, and it's really insane. They've done things really stupid and wrong, and even against Islam, you know. And they claim, yeah, we are Muslims. No, they are not Muslims, and we don't. We don't see them as Muslims. Moreover, our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he talked about like a group, they will come, you know, later, and they will claim, you know, they are Muslims, and they will call themselves the state, and they will carry like black flags and stuff like that. And he said, if you see them, kill them. They are enemy for us. They are our enemy. They are not part of Muslim community or Muslims world. They are our enemy. So,
as a Syrian, do you regret that the revolution started? Do you wish life was the same back home because it was more peaceful at the time than it is right now?
Yeah, I kinda like right now. Yes, I do. Because the whole country got destroyed, and I think we are the young generation. We couldn't see more further. We couldn't see the future. Because I think pretty much our, you know, parents kind of warned us, what you are doing, guys, is something wrong. Because Hafez al-Assad, Bashar al-Assad's dad, he also at his time, you know, a revolution happened against him. And he destroyed, like, it happened only in two cities, Aleppo and Hama. So he killed many people, and he destroyed Hama at that time. I think it was a big mistake for us to not acknowledge that fact.
During what time did this revolution happen, the one with the Assad's father?
1979 to 1984.
So you said that you're not going to go back home right now because you can't go back home right now.
For different circumstances. First of all, I can't come back to the United States because of the ban orders. And I have military service. If I go there, they will take me to the army or maybe to the jail just because I was a public servant and I left without a single word. So I have different circumstances.
What do you mean by a public servant?
I used to work for the government. So I... technically, I was working for Syrian Gas Company, but due to the situation in Syria, I transferred myself temporarily to Aleppo University, and I started working there. And then when I decided to come over here and do my master's, so I had to do something, like try to apply for permission or something to travel to get, you know, approved from the prime minister. But I didn't do it because I thought it's going to take, you know, lots of time, and I wasn't sure I mean, I was kind of sure they are not going to allow me because they need more people to serve in the army.
So if the situation in Syria ever improves and becomes better, will you ever consider moving back to Syria?
Well, if there is no risk on my life, maybe. But I don't see that happening soon. I feel like, yeah, this war it's not going to end up soon. And the problem is the whole country is destroyed right now, and Syrians have been replaced with other people, other nationalities, like from Iran, from Afghanistan, Shia from Afghanistan, from Iran, from Iraq, from... we have Russians, so...
They moved after the war started?
They came to fight, to fight with Bashar al-Assad against, you know, Syrian regime, so... And now they are everywhere. Shia from Lebanon. So, like, when I talk to my mom, she tells me every time, you don't see the people of Aleppo anymore. You don't see people of Aleppo on the street anymore. You see only, like, people from somewhere else. Like, you haven't seen them before. They have different color. They speak different language, you know.
So these people came to fight with Bashar or against
Bashar? No, with Bashar al-Assad, against Syrian army.
Do you feel that the travel ban is targeted on Muslims?
Yeah, I think so. Because the majority are Muslims in these countries.
How does this make you feel as a Muslim?
It depends on my mood. Sometimes I feel, yeah, if I'm really depressed, I feel, yeah, I'm rejected here. But that's not really true because I have a big circle of support here. I don't know, last time I felt they are not going to let this happen. So, and you saw what happened. The court terminated that order. So, I think, yeah, I'm pretty much like... I have trust in people here, yeah. So I don't think I will, you know. I'm not thinking about it a lot.
Are you a refugee here?
No, I'm a student, yeah.
Are you thinking about applying for a refugee status?
Well, I recently applied for something called TPS, Temporary Protection Status. It will allow me to stay here for 18 months if I get it.
Did you apply for it under circumstances that your passport expiring or what?
Well, for different circumstances. My passport is expired now, and I can't get another one, a new one, because we don't have U.S. Embassy here, and in Canada they don't issue passports. I tried to, I have a friend there, and I had him, ask the... It's not the embassy or the ambassador. They have like, small office. I don't know what you call it. قائم بالأعمال. Yeah, I have no clue. So they don't issue passports, but they renew. But the problem is my passport is expired, so I need a new passport. Anyways, I can't. Yesterday I was trying to talk to my family, but trying to see if they can help get me a new passport from there, from Syria. But the problem is, they didn't have a good reception, so hopefully today, I don't know.
So how do you feel you're here and you have an expired passport?
I don't know. I'm afraid of that, to be honest. I feel like, yeah, I'm really afraid. Am I going to get kicked because of that? Am I going to get deported? I don't know. Is it going to affect me if I get a job, if I apply for jobs or not? I think it will, but yeah, hopefully I will get the TPS sooner so I can have some sort of, legal documents here in the United States so I don't think about it a lot. So we'll see.
I don't know. They don't have a Syrian embassy here in
no.
The United States?
No.
Okay.
Not anymore.
What would you have done if the travel ban happened when you were back in Syria?
I don't know. I don't know. It's a hard question.
Do you think it would have changed your life?
Yeah, it will, of course. I mean, I can't come here, obviously. Yeah, honestly, I don't know.
Did you try or think about going to other countries other than the United States before coming to the United States?
Yeah, I was thinking about Germany. I was thinking about Germany and go there and do my, master's and PhD there. But I came here. Yeah.
Why didn't you end up going to Germany? Did some is it because of the legal stuff and they stopped taking in Syrians, or was
No. It's a long story. Like I studied German a little bit, and I was planning to apply for a PhD program there, but I was married at that time, and my ex-spouse's sister used to live up here with her husband, and her husband used to go to UMD, and he told me about UMD. And the idea was to come over here and be, one family. But things didn't work out later. I got divorced. And
did you have anyone that treated you differently because you were Syrian?
I think, in a good way or a bad way. So
if you had in a bad way or a good way, both.
Like I told you, my ex-roommate, so just, and I honestly, sometimes, I feel, I can't blame him for that, because I should have, sat down and talked to him and tried to explain to him some more. But I was kind of, at that time, I was a little bit overwhelmed and tired, and I had different things in my mind, so I didn't really pay, any attention to that, and I didn't care about that, because I had some other things, going on in my life, so, like always. Anyways, but yeah, some people here, they show me, passion and love when they, come to know I'm Syrian. And also sometimes, I feel, bad about it, because, some people, they feel sorry and sad. So sometimes, I feel, I don't want to share this. I don't want to tell them I'm Syrian. You know what I mean? Just because I don't want to see the sorrow in their eyes.
You said that you have family that still lives in Aleppo, right?
Yeah.
Did they try, or are you trying, or are they trying to get out of Aleppo?
Yeah, right now we are, but right now there is no way. I mean, I can't bring them here. They can't go to Germany. They can't go to anywhere. Pretty much all the countries around Syria, they closed their borders. So pretty much Syrians are trapped in Syria right now. So you can't leave Syria.
Are there planes or airlines flying from Syria to other countries, or not right now?
No, I don't think so. I mean, even though there is no flights, because I remember exactly when I had to book my ticket to come over over here to the United States, I had two options, either to go to Turkey or Lebanon. And since I had my interview in Lebanon, so I decided to go to Lebanon.
Have you or your family experienced some kind of trauma back in Syria, in Aleppo?
Yeah. You mean bombing and...
Yeah, how's it like? How has your family got affected by it? Lifestyle changes, job changes, shootings, attacks. How was it like?
Okay, my dad owns a shop in Aleppo, but he couldn't, work or go to his shop. Just because of the war, like I said before, lack of electricity and water, internet, heat. So that makes, your life horrible. Also, in addition to sometimes, some bombs or missile drop off in your neighborhood, somehow you get affected by it. In December, we had a few missiles drop in my neighborhood, hit a shop right next to our building. Some people got killed, injured. Thankfully, my family, was safe and nothing happened to them except some broken glasses and stuff. So that's it.
So you would say that the situation that you lived in Syria was not a safe situation?
No, it wasn't safe or healthy. Because like when you don't have heat or water, medical care, medications, that's crazy. That's unbelievable. If someone, when people get injured there or sick and they go to the hospital and the hospitals are packed up and you can't get the right health care just because of the lack of resources and, stuff. So it's really hard. It's really hard. My mom got sick one time when they mixed the running water with the sewage system. So many people got sick, and my mom was one of them. So and the problem is many of the doctors the professional doctors who have you know a good experience in medical field, they left the country. So we don't have right now really good doctors. We don't have lots of medications. We don't have good healthcare. So yeah, my mom went to the hospital and they gave her like some medications, and she had some side effects, and she was like sick for probably a month. She spent 2 weeks in the bed. She couldn't move. So it's really hard. Yeah.
So do you ever regret leaving back home?
No. No.
And with all the situations, is it hard for you to listen what your family goes through when you're all the way over here?
It's hard, yep. It's hard. Like, especially when they have some, you know, some drama going on, you know, in Syria and, you know, especially in Aleppo. I mean, I'm sure you have heard what was going on, you know, last December, November, December, January. So yeah, I get overwhelmed. But right now I'm feeling much better. I know like my, yeah, after the ceasefire in Aleppo, so things, you know, calmed down a little bit, and my family is safe. There is bombing, but not inside the city, it's in the countryside, which is really sad. You know, I feel so sorry for the people there, but I'm kind of, yeah, finally my family is like, you know, they are safe now. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for taking the time and speaking with me today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Not From Around Here, a special series of one-hour programs featuring interviews with international students in the Twin Ports. You can hear this program again online at wpr.org/notfromaroundhere. This program is a collaboration between the University of Wisconsin-Superior and Wisconsin Public Radio. Tune in next Monday evening at 7 for another installment of Not From Around Here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Next week, we hear from Opiagali Okunwa, a student from Nigeria, and Vittorio Bontempi, a student from Italy. I'm Olivia Shalabi, and thanks for listening.